Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Giving Voice to Values: How to Speak Your Mind When You Know What's Right, by Mary C. Gentile, narrated by Callie Bollier. Preface: Missing the Forest for the Bad Apples. Whether you were among those who lauded the clarity of President Barack Obama's inaugural address in 2009, or those who bemoaned its lack of quotable quotes, you most likely heard his call for an era of responsibility, loud and clear. In fact, when he turned to the topic of greatest concern for the electorate, the economic downturn, he plainly stated that the nation's woes were the result not only of greed and irresponsibility on the parts of some, but also, and more important for the path out of this mess, of the collective failure to make hard choices by the rest of us. The credit market meltdown and governance misbehavior had, once again, triggered conversations among business leaders, business educators, and the business press about just what they were communicating and teaching in the halls of industry, in corporate training seminars, and in business schools. After all, you didn't have to look far to find a lot of highly trained and highly placed managers doing a perp walk. Even more disconcerting were all those business school graduates who may not have crossed the legal line, but who had presided over, or at least given silent assent to, a stream of decisions that led to the collapsing dominoes of the worldwide financial system. What we cannot afford, however, is for businesses and business education to respond to this internal and external critique in the same way we have responded to scandals in the past. It is no longer acceptable to merely bemoan the problem of a few bad apples and then focus on preparing future business leaders to develop awareness of the kinds of ethical breaches they might encounter in their careers, presumably so they can recognize them in time to choose not to work for those bad actors and thereby avoid the problem. The other most common approach is to focus on the difficulty of reasoning our way through knotty and challenging ethical dilemmas, where the answers are not black and white, but many shades of gray. The focus is on those big, thorny issues where reasonable and intelligent people of goodwill may quite understandably disagree, and often do. These case studies can trigger what one Harvard professor called ethics fatigue. The training and educational focus is on analysis and the ethical reasoning models that philosophers have probed for centuries: duty-based decision-making, rights-based decision-making, utilitarian decision-making, and so on. Unfortunately, whether future managers find such discussions intellectually engaging or tedious and irrelevant, too often all they learn is how to frame an argument to justify virtually any position, no matter how cynical or self-serving. Utilitarianism, after all, is tailor-made for a free market economy. I remember one CEO who told me that while interviewing a recent MBA graduate for a job, he asked the man whether he had taken a course in business ethics. When the interviewee answered yes, the CEO asked him what he had learned. The job candidate explained that he had learned about all the models of ethical analysis, deontology, virtue ethics, consequentialism, and so on, and that whenever he encountered a conflict, he could decide what he wanted to do and then select the model of ethical reasoning that would best support his choice. Needless to say, this was probably not the intended lesson of the class. The first approach described is about awareness and avoidance. The second is about analysis. But what we really need now is preparation and practice for action, and not just any action, but a particular kind of hard, often risky, intricate, values-based action. The typical business ethics discussion or classroom is too often a kind of school for scandal, where managers review case studies and then spend all their time outlining the many reasons why being ethical is not so easy or even so clear after all. Often we hear, Well, when I'm CEO, I can take action on this kind of decision, but as a middle manager, I have neither the power nor the influence to do so. On the other hand, when managers put themselves in the place of the CEO, they say, well, if I were lower in the organization, I might be able to take this kind of personal risk and stand up against this behavior. But I have the jobs and lives of thousands of employees and investors depending on me. I can't afford the luxury of having values. Sounds like Chuck Prince in July 2007, not long before he was deposed as the head of Citigroup when he said, as long as the music is playing, you've got to get up and dance. It's not that ethical theory and high-level strategic dilemmas are not important. They are. But they don't help future managers and leaders figure out what to do next. When a boss wants to alter the financial report, or their sales team applies pressure to misrepresent the capabilities of their product, or they witness discrimination against a peer. And these are the experiences that will shape their ability to take on the big, strategic, thorny ethical dilemmas in due time. The near-term skills needed to deal with these kinds of challenges concern knowing what to say, to whom, and how to say it when a manager knows what he or she thinks is right in a particular situation, but doesn't feel confident about how to act on his or her convictions. This overlooked but consequential skill is the first step in building the ethical muscle. This is the purpose of giving voice to values, an innovative approach to the development of practical, principled leadership in business. Although developed for use in the business classroom, with the Aspen Institute Business and Society Program as incubator and founding partner, along with the Yale School of Management as the second founding partner, and now with ongoing support from Babson College, the approach is spreading beyond the business classroom to other disciplines and to corporate training settings. Throughout this book and other recent materials, it offers a framework and set of insights and tools that will also equip individual listeners with the skills, the scripts, and the confidence to act on their most deeply held values in the workplace. The main idea behind giving voice to values, GVV, is the observation that a focus on awareness of ethical issues and on analysis of what the right thing to do may be insufficient. Precious little time is spent on action, that is, developing these scripts and implementation plans for responding to the commonly heard reasons and rationalizations for questionable practices, and actually practicing the delivery of those scripts. GVV is all about this neglected area of scripts and action plans in practice, building the skills, the confidence, the moral muscle, and frankly, the habit of voicing our values. It begins with the assumption that most of us want to bring our whole selves to work, skills, ambitions, and values. Yet we know from experience and research that most of us will encounter values conflicts in our careers, when the way we want to live and the things we want to accomplish seem in conflict with the expectations of our clients, our peers, our bosses, or our organizations. That is why this skill and practice-based approach is essential. In its own way, giving voice to values is a resounding response to President Obama's inaugural call for the rest of us to be more willing and able to make the hard choices. Without denying the value of building awareness and developing stronger analytical skills, GVV is premised on the assumption that in many, if not most, of the managerial and financial misbehaviors that we have seen in the past, there were enough people who recognized the lapses in ethics and judgment to have stopped them. The problem was that they did not believe it was possible to do so. The conviction behind GVV, one that is supported by both qualitative research as well as cognitive neuroscience studies, is that, simply stated, practice makes perfect, or at least practice makes our voice and action more likely. After all, despite unprecedented complexity in financial products like credit default swaps, the reasons we give for
Sample complete. Ready to continue?